Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
O'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show. Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Appreciate you hanging out. I'm on the air tonight after Bucks and Sixers with the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show along with the Hall of Famer Sidney Moncrief. Catch Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler with a special one-on-one interview coming up from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Can't miss. You do not want to miss that conversation coming up tonight at 6 o'clock right after we're done here on the Wendy's Big Show. We'll talk to Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA insider and former GM of the Phoenix Suns, coming up here at 4:40 about the NBA trade deadline and other doings and happenings around the NBA, especially with what John Johnson just told us about the Philadelphia 76ers. Gary, it appeared that everybody wanted to say Jimmy Butler was the problem, and I was also one of those to jump to conclusions. I thought Jimmy Butler was just saying, you know what, I'm done with all this nonsense. I'm just going to go enjoy the warm weather down in Miami. But
I do too.
With all the conversations inside that locker room, appears that maybe we all jumped to an early conclusion about Jimmy Butler. Maybe he wasn't necessarily the problem. Could have been everybody's boy, Joel Embiid, or Ben Simmons.
That's what it feels like. I mean, that's what it looks like right now. You've got a guy in there in Horford. I mean, Horford's not, he's not a locker room, you know, cancer or anything like that. So it's got to be a lot of young kids in there. They just understand how to play basketball, how to be professional. Now, we just had, what's the guy's name we just had?
John Johnson.
And he's talking about, you know, Embiid, pouting, all that kind of stuff. They never win any games like that.
No. And that's
what are you pouting about? What are you pouting about? I mean, that's crazy.
And two, it feels a lot like in Boston last year, there was the conversations going around that it was Kyrie Irving and people, no one wanted to listen to Kyrie and he was trying to teach everybody how to win. But there's different strokes for different folks. I mean, you can hear it that way if you want, but there's always a difference when it's coming from somebody that maybe is doing it the wrong way. Not everybody is meant to be a leader. Everybody wants to be sometimes, but maybe it's not necessarily coming from the right place.
They don't know how to lead.
Sure.
And some guys are young and immature, just don't get it, just don't understand it, and that's what it feels like what's going on with the 76ers right now. They're imploding right in front of their faces.
Right now, in front of our eyes.
Well, their home record, though, is impeccable. It just is.
Just one game better than the Bucks, 22-2, 22-3.
Right, it just sounds like that they're just partying too much on the road. And that happens when teams go to New York, when they go to Miami, when they go to California, because we kind of thought, I keep bringing this back to the NFL a little bit, but we kind of thought that was insinuated the first time the Packers went out to L.A.
Sure.
That they weren't ready to play. The reason why they weren't ready to play, they went out a day early and they all went shopping.
Yeah.
And that's what happens a lot of times to young teams that just don't have focused. And I'm not saying that's what's going on with Philly, but it sounds like he insinuated on the road that these guys are having too much fun on the road. And I've been there. It can happen.
It can happen. I'm hoping they were all having way too much fun at Lucid then last night, because that would pay off for us in the Milwaukee Bucks. Over at Lucid.
What's that?
A nightclub over in Milwaukee.
Lucid?
Lucid.
Oh, Lucid.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think about numerous different places.
Oh, you've been to Lucid?
Couple of times. Interesting, really? Interesting style. Top of the hour brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Milwaukee North, right off I-43 North at Silver Spring Drive. Get one of the 2019s left on stock or get on their 2020 new inventory list today. New and certified pre-owned vehicles to suit your fit at Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Check them out online, mercedesofmilwaukeenorth.com. 414-799-1250. How much weight do you put on tonight's Bucks-Sixers game? Eric Name gave us a look inside the locker room as Wesley Matthews. They obviously know that of what happened the last time these two teams met. It was the only time that the Bucks have played the 76ers here in 2019-2020, and they got run out of the gym. They were down by 30 at one point in the third quarter. The score looks a little bit better than it did that day through the entirety of the contest. But it's TNT. It's Bucks and Sixers. I circled the date right away after the Christmas Day game, told everybody get your tickets for tonight's game because it's going to be a great one. But how much weight do you put on this game here tonight? Let's go to Terrell on the north side. Start us up at 414-799-1250. Terrell, how much weight do you put on tonight's game?
It's a lot of weight on this game. Gary, I got you. I can't hold myself back. Did you say that Kawhi ran through Giannis?
No, the Toronto Raptors did.
Okay. I could go with that.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors, yeah.
They definitely played a 1-2-2 zone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't Kawhi.
Yeah, so that'd be the team. Yeah, the Toronto Raptors ran through Giannis.
You're right.
I said they.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, they ran through Giannis. Yeah.
But this definitely is a big game because the last time they played, I seen semblance of what happened to the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals,
mm-hmm.
where the rap sheet is kind of out. You shoot real good from the three, you throw plenty of bodies at Giannis, and then you tell the Bucks who else is going to beat us.
Correct.
And that's kind of what happened in the game, and they got a lead. Even when the Bucks started to come back, they had built the lead up so much that it was pretty much garbage time. It wasn't the game anymore. So the Bucks definitely have to kick them while they're down, while they're imploding, because if they happen to show up big and win this game, it's not going to be good going forward for the Bucks, because that's going to give them confidence that no matter how bad they play against the rest of the league, if they're matched up with the Bucks, that's going to give them that inner confidence that's telling them that they can play with this team. So,
Trell, you can see what the 76ers winning did when they went and got Horford. It really was about defending Giannis.
Yeah, and I will say this too. The Miami Heat will play a lot of zone defense. They've been playing a zone defense this year, but now that they got a lot of defenders now with Crowder, Iguodala, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo,
mm-hmm.
they got four guys that can play some really good defense they can put out there. So it's not going to be a cakewalk, but I'm hoping my team is up. Well, I'm hoping Giannis, because I think he will not be denied this year. I think that was embarrassment for him to end of last year. And I think he's going to send not only the Sixers and everybody on the East a message, he's going to send either Kawhi or LeBron or whoever else makes it to the finals a message this year. We'll be all right.
Thanks, Trell. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And the feeling and the sentiment around getting the title to be the end-all, be-all, that is where it's going to be. But once you get to the NBA Finals, that's going to be the toughest part. Trell brought up Bam Adebayo. All-star caliber season, got the recognition that he deserved. That Miami team with Coach Spoelstra, he's one of the best coaches in the NBA, and he's been that for a long time. I think a lot of people gave the side eye once he took over for Pat Riley and said, well, I mean, you won with Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh. Have fun. Of course he could have been able to do that. But what he's been able to do in the years after, I think only show to his excellence as a coach. That guy knows how to run a team in for a defensive set, and they will play a lot of zone. They'll throw a lot of big bodies and a lot of guys that, I mean, lack of a better term, just don't give a rip. Like, they will go out and play strong physical defense all night long on Giannis. That's going to be the biggest part of that when that game comes. But how big of a game is it tonight for you? 414-799-1250. Gary Ellerson, how big of a game is it for you tonight, Bucks and Sixers?
I mean, Trell in some ways are right in that if they win, it'd give them more confidence because there'd be two games now. But I just don't see it. I mean, they just play so many games. I mean, is this the only second time that they've...
Second of four, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's at home. So I think it's probably big for the Milwaukee Bucks, and maybe they're thinking about it because they got rain on Christmas Day. So they're probably thinking about getting some... And I like to talk that, you know, because you would think that these guys wouldn't be thinking that, but I like the sound of it coming outside the locker room. Not that they know they need to get this, but this game got some weight on it. And you're right, if your team keep beating you, then they feel like they got something for the playoffs.
Sure.
I think it's a game for them to send a message, for the Bucks, most certainly.
And I think also, too, when they lost that game on Christmas Day, it was somewhat disappointing, and I know I heard a lot of it on the postgame show that day. Well, we had such a different level of excitement and anticipation and feeling like energy as well for when the Clippers came to town, when the Lakers came to town. Why wasn't it that for a team that everybody is expecting you to be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals? Why
right.
is that not the same level of intensity you brought to the floor that night? I was pretty critical about it over the weekend with the Nuggets game that This is a team that's the third seed in the Western Conference, which is a conference that's far better than yours. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say that you can walk through this game, and I get that it was Greek night. It was a great time. It was a great thing. You got to break up the monotony of an 82-game NBA season. But you're going to tell me against a team that's 17 games over 500 that you really wanted to win if you started a guy that nobody else offered a contract to?
Come on.
I mean, that's BS. So,
yes,
like, you can't feed that comment and then also say that these games don't matter. Like,
right.
If you believe that they're all the same, then that's the same way. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. But that's how they do it. That's the spin, Billy.
What do you mean? Like, oh, well, all these games are important, but we were trying to have some fun?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they had a lot of fun. I hope they had a lot of fun. Brian's in Whitefish Bay. Brian, how big of a game is tonight for you?
I think anytime. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good. And I think anytime you play against one of those 1-5, 6 seeded teams, anytime you have that game on your docket and schedule, yeah, it's a big game because there's the potential of you facing them down the line in the playoffs. So yeah, I think it's a big game. But after listening to the gentleman, I forgot his name, that you had on for the 76ers, there,
mm-hmm.
Boys, this is a make or break game for the 76ers.
It is.
Yeah, the turmoil was just incredible. I think everybody knew there was a little turmoil, but where it was coming from, actually, and that was super telling, and it was a great interview you guys gave. And more so, I think, for the 76ers, it's an absolutely huge must-win, whereas the Bucks, it would be a good win, and it shows that they can win against a top 5-6 seed team.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And that, too, what it can do inside the locker room. I don't believe that locker room lacks any confidence, but, I mean, you've been in those locker rooms, Gary. You can talk to it about when one team just keeps getting at you. That can settle in maybe
sure.
a little bit.
Sure, it can. And I think when you look at Philadelphia, I mean, they're looking to try and send a message. I mean, they're looking to try to stop the – because if they win this game, they feel good about it. It stops stop the bleeding, so
big
to speak,
time.
For them. Because now they're on the road. They get a team with the best record in the NBA and obviously the best player in the NBA, if nobody wants to say it outside of us, and they get a win. For them, it stops the bleeding. So you want to keep them down as much as possible. And so I hate doing big games in, like, baseball and basketball because they play so many. But most certainly – when you're playing them 4 or 5 times, though, I don't know how big of a game it is, but I would say this game is big only because they have turmoil with inside their locker room, and you want to keep that going.
Sure, you want to keep and fuel to that fire. Sure,
me.
You want to throw some logs on that fire.
Right.
You want to get after.
You want
to
keep
bit.
That going.
Doug's in St. Francis. He's up on the fan. Doug, how big of a game is this for you tonight?
Hey, I'm actually going to the game. So
nice. Where are you sitting?
For myself and my son. Section 115.
Yeah, that's a good
spot.
Seat. Yeah, that's
good
a good
spot.
Seat there.
Yeah, row 17.
Oh,
so
my.
It's good.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm with what Gary just said, right? So if Philly wins tonight, then they can prove they can beat us at home and on the road. I think Philly's got a good roster. When Embiid wants to play, he can be a very, very good player. I think their problem as a team is they've just got terrible coaching and nobody that can bring those guys together. So I think that's what they're missing there. What I'd like to see the Bucks do, though, tonight is kind of play some playoff basketball. Let's practice a little bit. Let's play defense. Let's make adjustments. And let's treat this as a playoff game tonight because you got to keep these guys down. You got to keep the turmoil in the locker room, like Gary said. And I don't want to see the kind of run-and-gun playground basketball tonight because if the Bucks keep that up, I don't know if we're going to win in the finals. We'll make the finals, but we have to start playing and practicing playoff basketball. I think mm-hmm. that starts tonight.
Sure.
Appreciate it, Doug. And,
thanks,
and
Doug.
Getting into more half court will help. But when you're playing a team like the Sixers, and I don't know if playground basketball is the transition game that he's kind mm-hmm. of referring to, but you've got to get out and run like that against this team, too.
No.
Because if you allow them to settle in with Horford, Embiid, and Simmons in the half court, you're going to struggle because of just the sheer size.
Mm-hmm.
Not many teams can handle the Bucks size with 2'7", pretty much 7-footers with Giannis and Brooke Lopez on the floor, or Robin Lopez, depending on when he comes in. But that's some legit size. Those are all legit 6'10 dudes
sure.
that are going to be in on the inside tonight. How big of a game is it for you? How much weight do you put into tonight's battle between the Bucks and Sixers? 414-799-1250. We'll ask Ryan McDonough, 76ers GM, former 76ers GM, now our radio.com sports NBA insider at 440. It's the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. We're back after this. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app, 414-799-1250.
Great picture.
How much weight do you put into tonight's game, Bucks and 76ers? Talk about it after the game here tonight on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. Myself and Sidney Moncrief, but before that, coming up from 6 to 7 here, the exclusive interview our guy Gary Ellerson had with Leap 36 Leroy Butler about his journey to a Hall of Fame finalist career, and hopefully more to come. Ryan McDonough is still to come here on the Wendy's Big Show. 76ers are in town. The Phoenix Suns former GM stops by our Radio.com Sports NBA Insider in about 15 minutes from right now. How much weight do you put on tonight's game? Allen's on the Wendy's Big Show answering that here for us at 799-1250. Allen, how much weight do you put on tonight's game? You got to put your speakerphone off. He'll wait about 7 seconds once the delay comes. And now Allen is ready to answer the question at 414-799-1250. Oh, he's not. He's gone. Good. Oh, okay. That's what happens when you do not have your speakerphone off or your radio down. Just a couple of facts, a couple of bullet points as to calling into the radio station. Appreciate everybody listening and participating in today's show at 799-1250. The comment that Gary just made before we got back from the break, great picture. The pictures coming out from yesterday's celebration for the Kansas City Chiefs are just tremendous. You got to see Pat Mahomes chuck a beer to some camera guy on the job. He slams it. Some dude just heaves one over to Pat Mahomes at the corner of the bus, snags it one-handed, and slams a beer. A 24-year-old guy, and I just couldn't help but put myself in the same scenario. There's no way I would remember much of any of that celebration.
I think when you look at that kind of stuff for me, Billy, that's the chemistry part, right? So when I see that picture, I go, yeah, they might be able to win 4 or 5 more championships. I mean, because who's really doing that? I mean, that's your quarterback. I mean, most quarterbacks are buttoned up. I mean, they don't show. I mean, that's why Aaron Rodgers didn't chug the beer, because he had some sort of thing about him that he didn't want to, like, let all that go. And then you got our boy, David Bakhtiari, he just kind of let it go.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when you see those types of things that are happening, for me, it's why when I saw it, I thought, what a great picture, though. But then I also thought, he's a leader. I mean, these guys are going to go play for Patrick Mahomes because he's like one of them. He's like one of the boys. I mean, he'll go out. He'll lay it on the line. He'll hang with us. There's no separation between us and him. Like, you know, maybe if the time for my contract to come up, maybe he'll go in the office and say something because we're so close. I know
they vouch for me or something.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I got all that out of that one picture for me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much stuff, but I like that kind of
sure.
stuff.
So you said you wouldn't see other quarterbacks doing that.
Very rare. I'm trying to think.
Russell Wilson?
Russ is kind of buttoned up a little bit, too.
A little bit, but he did announce that he had a new contract while he was shirtless laying
in bed. He
wasn't
in bed with old girl, though, wasn't he?
I mean, like, that's not super buttoned up.
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo, I definitely could see doing it. Because Jimmy Garoppolo likes to party.
Yeah, I can see Gronk, but today, who? Tom Brady, could you see him doing that to Gronk? I can see Gronk receiving that.
Yes,
but I don't see Tom Brady.
Brady would look at him like, I used to do that back when I was younger. I think that's where you get so many of these guys is, oh man, back in my younger days, I'd be able to do right. Back in my younger days, I was able to do that.
That's kind of like
when I was young, I used to be able to do that.
That's kind of like when the station first started, right?
Right. When I was younger, man. Oh, we used to be able to party like that.
Oh, this station, Billy, you should have been when you first started.
Matt Stafford would come in and say, "Man, my back's a little tight. I don't know if I can be slamming that beer, guys." Now, my man Drew Locke in Denver, you saw Drew Locke rapping on the sidelines.
Yes.
He would just have a whole bottle of Grey Goose that he would just be pouring out on guys.
Right.
Blake Bortles, he would have been ripping cigs while he was drinking beers. I mean, what else would he have been doing?
What about your boy from LSU, the quarterback?
Oh, Joe Burrow. Yeah. Joe Burrow was smoking that cigar like he was wishing that there was something else in
it. Yeah. Right. You 100%. Know, Joe Burrow's going to get down.
What about Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson has a little bit of a button-up feel to him.
He
played
does.
At Clemson.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily want to step out too much.
No.
Ryan Tannehill?
Tannehill looks like he might be able to.
Tannehill looks like he would be letting it all ride out. Because what else is he going to do? I wasn't getting here.
Right. Tannehill might be able to do something.
Maybe the most out-of-the-box answer for this. We all know what Baker Mayfield would be doing. He'd be
He'd be like Mahomes.
He'd be falling off of the bus.
Well, I hope not.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, best believe it.
Wow, he would have been inside the bus doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Best believe it.
Carson Wentz.
I don't know about Carson.
Because everything you hear is that he is just one of the best leaders around, super motivational.
Well, no, but I heard he was like a little a locker room cancer kind of sort of in there or something.
I think a lot of it was because Nick Foles was so good.
Right, and they all love Nick Foles. So
Nick Foles definitely would not be.
And they had a tough time transitioning over to him. Yeah, I can see that.
Daniel Jones. I mean, he was doing shots, playing flip cup with Eli.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Daniel Jones would.
There's Eli Manning. What do you think he was doing at these celebrations? Because he was 10 years younger.
Young Eli.
But yes. Eli was out playing flip cup with a bunch of co-eds when he was out here celebrating with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he did.
Dwayne Haskins.
He may not know where he is.
No. This is the same guy that was taking selfies while the game was still going
on. That's what I'm saying. He may not know where he is.
Mitch Trubisky, we don't even have to ask. No, he's never going to get there.
Have you asked about our guy yet? 12?
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Aaron would say, when I was younger. When I was younger. But, guys, I just can't. I just don't think I can do it. Big Ben?
Oh, Big Ben's doing it. Well, no. Big Ben ain't doing no more because he got caught up.
Back when I was younger.
He got caught up.
He did get caught up. He got caught up. That's for sure. He's got an excuse.
Yeah, he can't go.
He's got a built-in reason why he can't.
He can't go back because he got caught up.
No. What about Drew Brees? Younger?
Yeah, when I was younger.
Maybe when he was younger?
Yeah, when I was younger.
Jameis Winston, you know he'll just do just about anything. Yeah, he's partying. He's partying.
You better hook him up with some handcuffs or somebody else to make sure he don't get in trouble.
What about an out-of-the-box one? Mm-hmm. Your boy Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins seems like he might.
Kirk Cousins looks like he'd be letting it ride if that was him.
You know, yeah, you like that. Yeah, you just,
Lamar Jackson?
You might want to watch Lamar.
See, he looks like he'd be having fun.
Yeah, he can get out there. Along with, what's the running back they got from?
Mark Ingram?
Yeah, because I think both of them together may be trouble.
And Hollywood Brown would be on that bus,
oh,
too.
Oh, God, yes.
That would be something to see.
The question is, who would be receiving a beer at the bottom of the bus?
Well, Travis Kelce in the video.
Right. Gronk, for sure, if he was playing, right?
Gronk would have 7 with him.
Yeah, receiving.
Zach Ertz, probably on the Packers.
Who would be receiving? Who'd be down the bottom down there?
I'd want to say Devontae Adams. I just couldn't see it.
No, not him.
He's too buttoned up.
No.
Aaron Jones seems really buttoned up, but he looks like he would be a fun guy during the game.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, because everybody knows Bach would be down there. David Bakhtiari would have he would have that 3-story bong that you were talking about, people doing beer bongs outside of Madison. Beer bongs. Sorry. No, we're in Wisconsin, not in Illinois. Let's look around the league, though. These are fun conversations. Alvin Kamara, he would be slamming that thing.
Oh, God, yes.
But for the Packers, Bach would be the number one guy that I could think of.
Okay.
Jair Alexander would be my number two.
No. My number two? Zadarius.
Oh, 100%. Put it on me. Yeah, put it on me.
Put it on me.
Z would be leading the charge of that entire celebration.
Put it on me.
How did I forget 55?
Put it on me.
He'd put it on me. Put it on me.
Him and Bach.
And my guy, Kevin King, you would have to watch Kevin King during that celebration.
Yeah, sneaky.
Man, Kevin King would be having fun.
Everybody else over here having fun, causing commotion. He'd be over on the side having fun, no commotion, but he'd be...
Yeah, but he would be having fun. Don't forget that. He would be having a lot of fun.
He's coming to the party.
Would any of the other... What about your boy, Jake Kumerow? Whitewater's own.
No.
He looks like he would let it ride a little bit.
Yeah, but no.
But you would kind of just forget that he was there?
Yeah.
Jamal Williams.
He'd be dancing somewhere.
He would be doing something.
He would be doing something.
He'd be dancing. That's for sure. He would be dancing. Yeah. He would be leading a lot of celebratory dances somewhere. He would have a lot of fun in that celebration. Yeah, where would Gina Della from Pella be in this celebration?
She'd be dancing, too.
Because she would be there.
Yeah.
She would be there at the celebration parade.
Come on. You know she'd
Best believe that.
Oh, you know what? And she's pretty good, you know. She's pretty good. She can hang with the best of them. Okay, just
Bakhtiari would just be loaded. Bach
and Zadarius.
Oh, man.
Down there together.
They would shotgun a whole 30 rack.
If they had to.
If they could.
Unbelievable. Hey, guys, my good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors, they need to hire more installers, if you guys hadn't heard. You guys have responded big time, and right now they have a lot of work to get done, and they need more installers. And it is a great team to work for. Leroy Butler and I had the privilege going to really their award ceremony up in Green Bay and saw this team from there, from Brookfield, Green Bay, and in Madison. All these guys came together, and it is a great team. You want these people, when you want windows and doors, you want these people coming out to your house and installing the windows and doors at your place. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has extended, guys, last month's financing offers for the whole month of February. If your choice, 10-year, 2.99% APR or 18-month zero APR to approved credit. Now, because of demand, they're hiring experienced installers for their Brookfield, Green Bay, and especially Madison. Guys, if you're experienced as a window or a door installer, listen up for why you should apply now. Pella has the number one nationally recognized brand. Pella's been in business for over 100 years. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin offers premium pay, some of the highest in the industry. And I have witnessed that, guys, myself, right in person. And here's what I like about them, guys. You're going to get hands-on training, working daily with project managers to ensure completion. Guys, go check them out today. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they have the new Experience Center where you can go touch, see, feel the product you're buying in Brookfield off of Blue Mountain Road.
The NBA trade deadline today at 2 p.m. Central. A lot of moves across the NBA. D'Angelo Russell, former number two overall pick, is out in Golden State. Instead, they swap him with the Minnesota Timberwolves for Andrew Wiggins, former number one overall pick, the same year that the Milwaukee Bucks grabbed Jabari Parker at the number two pick. Jabari Parker also traded today from the Atlanta Hawks. Him, along with former top five pick Alex Len, go to the Sacramento Kings for Dwayne Dedman, a couple of second-round picks. Also, Miami, the big one in the Eastern Conference, acquiring Andre Iguodala, the three-time NBA champion, signs a two-year, $30 million extension with Miami. They also acquire former Marquette player Jay Crowder to play with Jimmy Butler. Solomon Hill also goes in that deal. For Justice Winslow, Deion Waiters, James Johnson. We'll recap all of the dealings in the NBA trade deadline with our Radio.com Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough next. He's brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. It's up after this on The Fan. Seven FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Yes, Lord.
I got a cousin who, any wedding that this comes on, the whole dance floor clears, and this dude does a very, very interesting rendition of a Beat It dance.
We used to have a cat that worked here named Eric Hammy. He can do a Michael Jackson to a T. One of the few white dudes that I know that can do Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I can just listen to it.
He can do the whole hat thing.
No.
He can do the hat. Yeah. You know, when Michael Jackson had the black
hat.
And the little
gun that he has with the finger pointed down.
He can do the whole thing, like, for real.
I'm much better at the Ray J R&B classic grab. The grab and pull. Because every R&B song, you know, reach out, grab it back in.
Okay.
That's what it does. You bring it in.
Yes.
And bring it back down.
Okay.
Now we'll bring in Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, here on the Wendy's Big Show, brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans, as all of our insiders are here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Former NBA GM, now on the Radio.com app with us here on the Wendy's Big Show, Ryan McDonough. Appreciate the time today.
Billy and Gary, thanks for having me on, guys.
I know it's a incredibly busy day for you, but how many memories does this bring back? Because I can only imagine working the phones on a day like today. Hectic, but it has to be fun.
It is fun. It's exhausting, obviously. You're trying to go through a bunch of different possibilities, looking at the other 29 teams around the league. And then a lot of times, as soon as you think you have it figured out, then the other teams in the league make a trade, and then that causes you to get together with your staff and kind of reevaluate. And I think we saw that process get started late on Tuesday night when the four-team deal was announced between Houston, Atlanta, Denver, and Minnesota, and then you know, some of the pieces in that deal ended up elsewhere. So that's why it's challenging, guys. You can think you have everybody evaluated and think you've gone over every scenario and every contingency, but when the action starts, that puts other contingencies into play, and you have to be ready for all those. But most importantly for your listeners in Milwaukee, the Bucks are in a great position where they didn't have to do anything and could just kind of sit back and watch it all. And obviously, at the end of the day, they decided not to make any moves this afternoon.
Well, ultimately, you look at this, the biggest winner, I guess, in this deadline is it Miami or is it the Clippers?
Those are the two teams that stand out to me. I think the LA Clippers adding Marcus Morris really helped upgrade their roster. You know, so there's an arms race with the Lakers in the Western Conference, as you guys know. The Lakers did not make a move today, and not only bringing in Morris for the Clippers, but being able to do it with keeping some of your better young players like Landry Shamet, who the Knicks coveted, and Fiondu Kevengele, the rookie big man out of Florida State. I think that's a win for the LA Clippers, and I think makes them the favorite to come out of the Western Conference. I thought they were the favorite because of the talent and depth on their roster prior to the deadline, and I think they strengthened their position at the deadline. And then Miami, as you mentioned, adding Andre Iguodala, but it wasn't just the Iguodala part of it that I like, guys. It was moving off of some bad contracts and Deion Waiters and James Johnson, who are multi-year guys, and then also getting a player in Jay Crowder, who along with Iguodala can help them win. So anytime you can improve the current team and then add future flexibility, I think of that as a clear win. And yes, yeah, so I have LA Clippers and the Miami Heat as my two big winners at the trade deadline today.
Ryan McDonough joining us here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can hear him on the radio .com app, a part of Scals and Pals, the podcast right now on the radio.com app. Great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA trade deadline. Ryan, Brian Scalabrine, and Kendrick Perkins. Just search Scal, S-C-A-L, to find that podcast wherever you find your podcast. Ryan, when you look at the deal with D'Angelo Russell and Andrew Wiggins, what team do you, Golden State or Minnesota, is the winner there? I really like it as a boom or bust change of scenery location for Golden State.
Yeah, I think Golden State has the most potential upside, guys. The million-dollar question that I don't have a good answer to is, how is Andrew Wiggins going to be as a Warrior? We've all seen his high-end games. We see the talent when he scores 30 points and looks like an all-star, but I think we've all seen on a lot of nights that he's really non-existent, and you have to check the box score to see what he did or if he had any impact on the game, which is obviously not what you want from a max-salaried player. So I think it's a gamble on Golden State's part as far as how he will fit alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green when that group gets healthy. However, they did pick up another very good asset along with Wiggins. They got Minnesota's first-round pick in 2021. That pick is only protected to 3. So that pick, along with Golden State's own pick this year, which is currently slotted at number 1 if the lottery were held today, those two assets give them a lot of flexibility. So, you know, I have questions about how Wiggins will look in a Warriors uniform, but I think there's also a decent chance that, you know, when those guys get healthy next year, that Wiggins is not in a Golden State uniform and that they use one or both of those picks along with Wiggins to bring in a better player, you know, who helps their core to compete for a championship next year.
Hey, listen, move on a little bit. The Bucks are playing the 76ers tonight, and the first time they played, the 76ers took it to them a little bit. And now all of a sudden we're hearing some rumblings in and out of the locker room with the 76ers. They're a very talented team. I don't understand why they would have some sort of, maybe they don't work well together inside their locker room when you have a veteran like Al Horford inside that locker room.
Yeah, good question. I just think the fit hasn't been great. For whatever reason, Philadelphia is the best home team in the league at 22-2, but they've been really bad on the road. They're only 9-18 on the road, and obviously the game tonight is in Milwaukee, and I'm sure the Bucks want to exact revenge after what happened on Christmas. So they're just a little funky, guys. I mean, I like Philadelphia's size. I like their defensive ability. They have a top-5 defensive team, but offensively they're close to the bottom third of the league, which I don't think many people anticipated with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Al Horford and Tobias Harris on that roster. So I think they need to figure that out somehow. The pieces are talented, but they may not fit as well as some other contending teams, certainly not as well as the Bucks pieces are fitting. That's why I think tonight will be interesting. And if I had to guess, and I'm not saying this because I'm on with you guys on a radio show in Milwaukee, but I think the Bucks will blow them out tonight. I really do. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the Philadelphia 76ers, but it seems like on the court and in the locker room, or maybe both, there's something off with Philadelphia when I've watched them play recently.
So 31 games to go in that conversation we had with John Johnson of WIP just earlier today. I asked him, does it work then, or is it worth it to make a move at the head coach spot?
Well, that's a fair question. I mean, as an executive who has been hired and fired in the league, I'm certainly sensitive to that.
Right.
I think this offseason will be big for them guys, or I should say what happens the last third of the season and into the playoffs will determine what they do this offseason. I think if they flame out in the first round, or if they're not competitive with a team like the Bucks or somebody better than them in the second round, I think there will be changes, and whether that starts with Brett Brown or even ends them taking a more drastic measure by breaking up the duo of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, I think all of those things are in play, because when we looked at the talent on the roster and looked at the Eastern Conference prior to the season, most people, myself included, had Philadelphia and Milwaukee as the top two teams in the East. Milwaukee's been better than anticipated, and they had a phenomenal year last year, as you guys know. Philadelphia's been a lot worse. They've been one of the most disappointing teams in the league to me, and currently they sit in the sixth seed, which is with their expectations and with their payroll structure and what they've been building for over a number of years, not what anybody in Philly had in mind prior to the season.
I know, and you talk about it, staying in the East. I mean, you look at the Boston Celtics, and for a minute when they went and got Kyrie, they had all these draft picks. Most people thought they would have been the shoe-in to maybe contend in the East, and I saw them play a little bit last night against, I believe, against Orlando. They struggle a little bit early, but they end up pulling away. What are your thoughts on the Celtics and their position in the East?
I think they're good. I know they looked at adding some bigs today. They haven't fully replaced Al Horford, who we've talked about, who walked out the door to Philadelphia as a free agent. So I think that's the weakness on their team. The front line, Enes Kanter and Daniel Tice have done a solid job, but neither one of those guys is Horford. Now, that being said, their chemistry is a lot better this year. Kemba Walker's had a big impact in the locker room and on the court as well. And their two young wings, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, have really improved. Tatum made the All-Star team for the first time in the Eastern Conference. So I like the talent. And, guys, as I view the Eastern Conference as a whole, mm-hmm. I think Milwaukee is way ahead of the pack, and then there's a gap. And I think the Celtics are in that second group alongside Toronto and Miami. Indiana, I think, could be in that group as well, depending on how Victor Oladipo reintegrates into the lineup. And then I think, if I were to rank the top six teams in the Eastern Conference the way they're playing, I'd have Philadelphia a clear six at this point. And I'm a little surprised, honestly, guys, the Sixers didn't make a bigger move to try to upgrade their roster in a more significant fashion at the trade deadline.
What does Iguodala then do for Miami? Does that put them farther ahead than everybody else? Are they in that next class as maybe in second?
I don't think he moves the needle that much, guys, at this point in his career. He certainly helps. He's an intelligent, high IQ player who's obviously a good defender. I think he had fallen off a little bit the last couple of years in Golden State. Keep in mind he's in his mid-30s, approaching his late 30s, and also keep in mind that he didn't have a training camp or a preseason or play in the first 50 games of the regular season this year. So I think that he'll take some time to reintegrate to an NBA game, to the flow of a game. It's not easy jumping in the second half of the season when everybody else has been playing since September, October. But I think it'll help them at some level, guys, but I don't think, let me put it this way. This isn't the 2016 Finals MVP Andre Iguodala that the Miami Heat are getting. That was four mm-hmm. years ago, and he has slowed down a little bit since then. However, overall, I do think his basketball IQ and his defensive ability will help the Heat, especially against certain matchups.
I'm a former NFL player, and I just marvel at the NBA and basketball players, because you just talked about it. No training camp, hadn't played, and it's a great place, and God is good when you can jump in and get a two-year, $30 million deal. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Well, I think to your listeners in Milwaukee, a lot of young kids are probably picking up basketballs right now and going to work out, even though it's cold outside. But yeah, that was a little bit surprising. I mean,
not grabbing pads.
Yeah, people wondered around the league, like, is Iguodala hurting himself, as far as his future market and his earnings and the fact that he got an extension. Now, it is being reported as a two-year, $30 million extension.
Okay.
I think what's more likely, guys, is that it's a one-year, $15 million extension. The second year of that extension, which would start in the summer of 2021, is a team option, which I'm almost certain the Miami Heat will decline that because, keep in mind, that's I know the listeners in Milwaukee don't want to hear this, but that's potentially when Giannis is a free agent if he doesn't sign the big extension with the Bucks this summer. But it's also a very deep and talented free agent class that could potentially include guys like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George from the LA Clippers as well.
Former NBA exec, now Radio.com Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ryan, you brought up the extension, the Supermax contract that's going to be floated out there to Giannis and offered to Giannis here after the season. Just from your standpoint, you're standing with the league and being in those front offices, do you believe the bird rights and the Supermax contract has done what the NBA envisioned it would for small market teams?
That's a great question. I honestly don't think it's had the impact that the league anticipated it would, and here's why. I think there's so much money now, guys. As you know, when we look at Giannis and we're projecting a five-year, $250 million contract, which would be the biggest in NBA history, not only in terms of average annual salary, but also in terms of total dollars, but also looking at the fact that he could sign a four-year very good deal with another team that's not quite $250 million, but most of the difference, as you guys know, is in that fifth year, and if you project the salary cap will continue to go up, he could make up most or all of that money in year five somewhere else. So I think the league needs to find a way, especially for a player like Giannis, who's so unique and is so historically good, to make it even more beneficial financially. I'll almost make it to the point where it's not even a decision because it's so financially beneficial to re-sign with your current team. Now, all that being said, I think the Bucks are in a great spot. I think they've done everything right. John Horst has made the right moves in the front office. Mike Budenholzer has been the best coach in the NBA the last 2 years. They're on a 70-win pace, so there's nothing more Milwaukee can do, I think, other than win in the playoffs, advance to the NBA Finals, and try to win a championship. And I think and hope that if the Bucks do that, that'll be good enough for Giannis to re-sign on the dotted line this upcoming summer.
Doing post games here for them on our station about the Bucks after each and every game, Ryan, they've exceeded my expectations, even for the lofty ones that we had, and a lot of people in the city were only looking at the Eastern Conference Finals as that being the starting point, right? You have to get back at least to where you were last year and then win the NBA championship. Through the first 50 games, have they exceeded the expectations you set for the Bucks?
Yeah, they have. I mean, you know, as you know, we're coming off a season in which the Bucks won 60 games and had the best regular season record in the league and won the Eastern Conference regular season title and then rolled through the Eastern Conference playoffs starting off 10-1. Now, that being said, they've taken another step forward this year. And honestly, guys, with Malcolm Brogdon going out the door in free agency to Indiana, that was not something I anticipated. But it's a testament to, you know, starting with Giannis and Mike Budenholzer, but also Chris Middleton is having a tremendous year. As you guys know, he's one of the few players in NBA history has a chance to be a 50-40-90 guy when I'm talking about his percentages from the floor, from three-point range, and the free throw line. Not many guys in the history of the game have done that, and Middleton has a shot to do it. And then you look at the team, their advanced numbers are historically elite. They're number one or two in the league in offensive rating, defensive rating, pace, and net rating. So, you know, I think fans in Milwaukee know this, but it is, I think, getting a little underreported nationally just as far as how good the Bucks are and how historically unique season this is in Milwaukee. Only two teams in NBA history have won 70 games, and right now, if the Bucks keep playing this way, they're on pace to be just the third.
Speaking of underrated or underreported, is Giannis the best player in the NBA today?
Yeah, he is. I think he'll run away with his second MVP this year. I don't know that it'll be unanimous, but it wouldn't surprise me if it were unanimous, given how well he's played, given how well the team has played. His raw numbers are off the charts. Or his advanced numbers are historically good. And for me, guys, he has the biggest impact in the league. Talking about a two-way player, as you guys know, he's up there with Shaq as far as guys who score the most points in the paint over the last 20 or 25 years. And then defensively, with his size and length and athleticism, he has a tremendous impact as well. So I think he'll run away with the MVP. And honestly, I think if you polled all 30 heads of basketball around the league and asked them who the player they'd most like to start their team with is with today, I think all 30 of them would say Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There he is. That's Ryan McDonough joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, former GM, now host with our guy Brian Scalabrine on the Scal and Pals podcast. You can hear it on the radio.com app. He's our radio.com sports NBA insider, and he's joined us here recapping the NBA trade deadline, talking Bucks and Sixers with us on the Fan. Ryan, appreciate the time today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, man. That's Ryan McDonough joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. So that was an affirm yes.
That was a firm yes.
That was a very firm
no
yes.
Wishy-washy about that.
Favorite was when he said, yeah, you'll ask anybody else. They'll say yes, too.
30 of them.
He was bought into that, no doubt about it. No wishy-washy there. It's the Wendy's Big Show with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane coming up next here on The Fan after Bucks and Sixers tonight. The big battle out at Fiserv Forum. If you're heading down there, want to hear from you at 414-799-1250. I'll be on with the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show along with the Hall of Famer Sidney Moncrief. Still a lot to get to here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.